No, they owe you nothing. The audience owe you nothing at all. They're actually giving you their time. It's five minute pitch. They're giving you 5 minutes of their life, right? So you have to give them something back. You have to give them something to be curious about.
Welcome to We Grow Show. What keeps us driving is what drives you further. This is your hosts, Sebastian Kunz
and Sarah Kaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Growth Show. We are very excited to have Peter Hopwood as our guest today. Peter is a public speaking coach, and he's going to be telling us a lot of insights, a lot of amazing experience he gathered throughout the last years. And we're very happy to have you, Peter. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be with you and can't wait to share some ideas and some insights and to have a good conversation with you two.
So Peter, since you are have been a speaker and speaker coach for around 10 years so far, how did the journey as a speaker and speaker coach for you begin in the beginning?
Well, I mean, it basically goes back about 20 years or so when I was working in a sales position. And most of that sales position was actually presenting. So it was the same presentation week in, week out. I was roughly, I don't know, must have been 5 or 6 times a week, the same thing, trying to persuade people to understand and kind of trust me and to buy what I had to offer. And so very quickly, I realized the way I was saying things, the way I was sharing my messages, how I moved my body, what I said with the small intonations, the articulation, all those things together helped people create an impression of me, which in turn, hopefully, you know, would help them to buy from me. So this was something that really fascinated me. And then that went on to communication training. And then, you know, over the last 10 years or so, actually helping people to actually stand up and share their messages to people, to audiences, to really get them to not just buy from them, but also to believe them, trust them, and to get them to listen to them. So it started off in a boring sales job and actually unfolded into actually helping people do exactly what I was doing 20 years ago.
Fantastic. Is it something you realized yourself, or did you get feedback from somebody saying, hey, you got to take care more of this and that?
Well, actually, no, I kind of knew I kind of had a talent for presenting, but I as the years went on, you know, the feedback I was getting, people actually asking me, you know, can you help me? How do you do that? Can you help me? Because I need to give a pitch to my boss. So I need someone just to help me on this area or this area. So I kind of, as the time unfolded, I knew that I've got something that I can share with people because I'm actually doing it myself. So yeah, it kind of unfolded and sort of grew as time went on.
Very, very cool. So you probably expected this question already, but since we're here at the Growth Show, if you connect the growth in yourself, how would you describe it?
I was expecting that, and it's a very good question. I think it's all about, I think, two words which have always meant something to me, and those two words are keep moving. So whatever you're doing, you need to keep moving. Even though sometimes you might find yourself in a place which is a dark place or a tough place or a brick wall or challenges you're facing, you just have to keep moving. So in my case, in terms of speaking, in terms of coaching, I've had ups and downs over the years, but I've managed to keep moving by, you know, still, you know, looking to educate myself further, to look at other speakers, to work on myself, invest into myself as well, keep doing things, keep moving on, going to conferences. So that those two words, keep moving, have been a really, those are kind of my, you know, my mantra really, not to say stay still. Because as soon as you stay still, you start we think too much as human beings, certainly. And yeah, we start to think about the things which are negative as a default. So if we keep moving, we're focusing on the things we're doing now and the future. So keep moving will help you in terms of whatever you're doing to kind of keep everything going in the right direction and to focus on the right things rather than the things that'll bring you down. And as I say, speaking is like a muscle. So the talent of speaking, public speaking, is a muscle that you have to keep flexing, because if you don't, you start to like a normal muscle, it doesn't get in use, and then you can actually, you know, it doesn't actually help you in what you're doing. So yeah, keep moving has been two words that have really meant a lot to me and my career until now.
So speaking of keep moving, and like you started your sales career in the beginning and then it went to speaking and pitching, and you're also a pitch coach, what would you say makes a pitch compelling and impressive?
Well, I mean, that's one question, but the answer to that is you know, there's a lot of things that create a strong pitch, you know. So, I mean, if we look at the main things, I would say your message, you have to be very, very clear of your message. As soon as you know, your very clear, sharp, concise message, that will come across. That will hopefully come across the audience. And if your audience understands that very quickly indeed, so it's very simple language, very simple, clear, sharp messages, that helps your audience, you know, get a grasp of what it's all about. The second thing I would say is your passion, your enthusiasm for what you're doing, for what you're sharing. If your audience sees you, hears you, they make judgments of you, how you move, how you sound, your voice. Mm-hmm. You know, what you look like, all these things together, if that doesn't equal the kind of tone of your message, people won't want to listen to you, or they won't be curious and they won't want to listen. So your belief in your message and the belief in yourself that you can, you know, share this message, I would say the two main things. Of course, there are a lot of other elements involved, but I would say those two really are the two things mainly, you know, I work on with the clients I have who really are struggling and find it a challenge to get to the next step.
What would you say are typical mistakes sales guys or entrepreneurs do usually when they pitch like an idea or a business?
Yeah, I mean, I've already said it there, just making everything very clear and concise, making sure that your audience or the people listening understand what the problem is and then understand clearly what the solution is. So that would be, you know, that would be certainly on the top of the list. Then if we go down a little bit, I would say something in terms of the delivery, you know, the speed at which we're sharing our messages plays such an important part on the side of the listener, because they need, you know, we as listeners, we need time to absorb the message, we need time to really feel what the problem is and the solution as well. So slowing down and only really sharing, you know, sentences and phrases which really actually count,
yeah,
would certainly be something important. Otherwise we could, you know, we could, on this podcast, you know, you could just keep asking lots and lots of questions, but not really the questions that really mean something. I, as the person on the other side, I could just be sharing with you lots of stuff, lots of great ideas that I think are great, but in fact, there's only a handful of things which are really, really important. So it's the skill of bringing everything down into a nice package, very clear, very concise, at a good speed, and together with those other things I mentioned in the previous answer, slowing down and using your passion and enthusiasm. And you can do that in many ways, through your voice, through how you move, through your facial expression. So all those things together really help you move forward and get your message across, I would say.
Awesome. So you say your speaking career goes back around 20 years already. What do you think, how long did it take you to really become a good speaker? Was that a matter of a month or like 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
No, a long time. It took me a long time. I mean, I was, you know, on stage, you know, in front of an audience, I saw myself as somebody quite confident. Maybe at the beginning, maybe earlier on, maybe audience saw that as arrogant, perhaps, I don't know. But as time went on, you know, I really, really wanted to improve. So I really took the time to look at myself, trying to get as much feedback as possible, really looking at all different areas of what I'm doing, which I felt could actually influence or persuade, you know, persuade my audience. So, you know, it's and I'm still learning now, even today, you know, even today, I've got two speaking coaches that are friends of mine now, they're colleagues, but we help each other, that when we get together, they manage to see things I don't see, even though I've been doing it a long time. And even though I help people to do exactly the same thing, and vice versa, I can spot things that they do or say that they maybe haven't, you know, thought about, because that's often the case when we're presenting, when we're sharing things in a pitch, in a presentation, there are many things often we don't even know we're doing or even saying, which actually could have an effect. So the answer, you know, very simply to that question is no, it's taken a long time and I'm still moving forward. And I'm still got, as I say, like a muscle, you've got to keep it going. Otherwise, you forget things and you forget the perception of yourself is so important as well. Not to let your ego get inflated, get out of control, as a lot of speakers do, you know, especially speakers who are on stages around the world and getting paid a lot of money to do what they do, to speak on stage. So it's easy to kind of, to let your ego get out of hand. But, you know, it's important to, you know, every now and again, look at yourself and say to yourself, listen, why did I do that? Or why did I move at that point during the presentation? Or that phrase there, that sounded great, I'm going to use that again. Or, you know, that phrase that I said there, why on earth did I say that? I don't need to put that in again. So reflection and self-awareness is such an important part of growth, I would say.
I mean, I'm sometimes also on stages, and most of the time people come to me and ask me, how did that start? How did I do that? Like we did with you. But as well, we also ask, like, were you not nervous? Don't you have anxiety and stuff like that? I would be nervous if I would be on stage. So my question would be, how can you overcome anxiety when speaking in front of a big audience?
Yeah, really good question. Really, that's, I would say, you know, the number one of the main things we work on, you know, with the clients I have, bringing down that. I think it's more about bringing down the anxiety rather than getting rid of it, because it'll probably never go. I'm still nervous. I'm sure you're still nervous, but somehow we manage to control it. Somehow we manage to keep it under control and focus on other things. And that's an important thing to remember. So as soon as we start focusing on what we're about to share, so think about the value you're about to share. So think about, you know, what is it the audience is going to get after you speak? Okay, so focusing on that will already in your mind keep you away from the negative thoughts of judgment, because often it's about the you know, we worry, or the anxiety is about judgment. We worry about the judgment about our reputation, the judgment about how we look, the judgment how we're going to fit into the tribe of the audience, the judgment about how our career will develop because of this. So it's really putting the judgment aside and actually saying to yourself, you know, go ahead and judge me. I'm happy to be judged, because I'm about to share some value. Yeah. So if you think to yourself, I'm about to share something cool, something good, almost like a secret. So, like a secret is something you know, but the other person doesn't know yet. So you're about to share a cool secret. You know the value you're about to share, and you focus on that. You know, something that somebody told me once many years ago. He said to me, "Listen, Peter, you know what? Your audience, they do not care about you." And that stuck with me. And it stays with me all the time. And it's so true. So your audience, they don't care. They judge you, but but they actually don't care about you as much as you do when you're on stage. So it's almost the opposite. It's almost switching it around. You have to get on that stage, or you have to stand there, and by what you say, what you do, how you move, you have to get your audience to care. You have to get your audience to feel like, I actually want to listen to this person. There's something curious about him or her, and I want to listen more. Getting them to listen more is what you need to do. So rather than letting, you know, thinking that your whole audience eyes are on you and it's full judgment and they're looking at every single move, which they are, but they don't actually care about you. They don't care. So then switch it around, thinking, okay, I'm going to make sure these guys remember me. I'm going to make sure I'm going to give value, so they can, you know, an audience can judge me by what I look like, my hair, my appearance, you know, what I'm wearing, my choice of shoes, whatever it is. And that's okay. But they what I'm about to share in terms of value, that is what I'm here for, and that is what they're going to get. So focusing on that will already start to calm the nerves and bring the anxiety down.
Yeah, amazing. So you already mentioned this. It's all about the movements. It's about the appearance, but also the value. And you mentioned this a couple of times. It's how to use your voice. Could you say, like, voice is more important than movement, or is this all on the same level? And then, and how can you play with the voice? How can you?
Yeah, that's right. So voice, it's really interesting. Voice is, most of us would say, if I was to ask you now, you know, what do we judge people the most on? And probably most people would say what we look like, and probably the body language, and, you know, how we stand, and those kind of things. But in fact, the biggest influencer that helps us move that gauge towards where we want it to be is actually the voice. So you can have, like, somebody can stand on stage, look a mess. Maybe what they're wearing doesn't look great. Hair is scruffy. They look like they're, you know, they shouldn't be on there. But if they've got a confident voice, and that voice makes you want to listen more, that is what will influence you the most. It's almost like listening to radio presenters. Like, people that listen to this now, most of the people that listen to this maybe probably haven't seen me or seen you in person, maybe don't even know what we look like, but they will judge us on our voice. They will judge us on the depth of the voice, the speed, the credibility. So all these things come into play with the voice. So if there's one thing to work on, you know, definitely your voice, your speed. So bringing your speed down slightly. So slowing. So your speed, if you speak fast, if you're somebody who speaks fast, your tone is often quite high. Mm. Now, if you start to slow down slightly and just put in more pauses and just slow down, what happens to the tone of your voice? It goes down. And as we know, a lower voice is actually better for business. It has more credibility. People give us more respect just because we have a lower voice. So slowing down, sharing that confidence and color in your words will really help, you know, really help the listener to be persuaded to have that impression you want to give.
Yeah, totally. Did you take courses on this, or did you just watch yourself, listen to yourself?
No, I listened. So I listened to lots of speakers. I didn't study this formally, but it's something that I've learned, and I've spoken to a lot of people about, and it's there's a lot of things you can pick up from the voice, from speakers online that are, you know, from Obama, from different politicians, from great speeches, from famous people. And even, you know, if you just type in keynote speaker, even speeches which maybe content-wise isn't so great, you can still hear people with good voices and not so good voices. So the thing is to, as I say, bring down your voice, good pace, really don't be afraid of slowing down. You know, we know, I'm sure you've met many people as well like this who just have to keep talking, who are almost like afraid of silence or just feel silence is awkward. Public speaking, silence is the opposite. Silence is actually a really good thing. It's a really good thing to share, because you have time to think about what you're going to say, and your audience can absorb the messages as well in a nice, healthy way. So yeah, it's something to practice. But if there's one thing that, as I say, really influences us more than anything else, funny enough, it's the voice.
Well, the craziest and best speech I've ever seen was a speech which it felt a little bit like a roller coaster, since the person was like speaking really fast and speaking really loud, and at some point like speaking really like quiet, and at some point speaking slowly. It was like really feeling like a roller coaster, but it was like entertaining. It was amazing to listen. It was fun. You didn't like feel at some point he was like monotone or something. You were like, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. We were all like, I think, a little bit tired, but that guy was like waking us up with his voice. Mm-hmm. We're like already there. It was, I mean, I feel all of what you were already mentioning and suggesting for people to learn and practice, because all of that were like in this best speech I've seen so far, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, and clearly this person is using the, you know, the skill of unpredictability. So when we're predictable, we actually get bored. When we know what's coming, often we get bored of it. Let's say, for example, we were doing this podcast, and I was, you know, the way I was talking to you was like really energetic, really kind of flamboyant, really, really almost exaggerated American style, bang, 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 you know. At the beginning, it would be quite curious and quite intriguing, I'm sure. But after a while, because you know what's coming, you'll get bored of it. And it's the same the other way around. If I was, you know, very slow and keeping it really calm and confident, and my credibility would rise certainly at the beginning of this podcast. But if I was to keep that tone all the way through, again, you would start to nod off, and it's predictable. So you know what's coming. So keeping it unpredictable, you know, highs, lows, fast, slow down, you know, big silences, and then bang. So mixing it up almost like a song. It's almost like a song or a film, you know, a blockbuster film, not even a blockbuster, but, you know, having different parts and different chunks and all making up this nice package that you want to share with your audience.
Yeah, totally right.
Since you do this for a living, you're a public speaker coach, you speak for a living. How do you acquire new talks, new people, new customers?
Yeah, basically, it's a mixture mainly of three things. I would say about 60% at this stage is through repeat business, through people I've worked with already, who I've you know, in terms of clients, in terms of conferences, because also I'm an MC, I'm a presenter, a facilitator, moderator, so global events around the world, they call me and fly me in to shape and energize and to guide the audience through their conference. Another part would be cold calling. So a lot of it is cold calling, you know, reaching out to conference organizers, to accelerators, to potential clients. And, you know, it's really important for them, because, you know, a cold email or just a cold call or reaching out on LinkedIn, again, why should anybody care? Why should anybody really take the time to listen to me? I could just be, you know, another public speaking coach, another MC, just like everyone else. So it's really important they see me. It's really important they see some video of me. So once they've seen, you know, 60 seconds of a show reel or 60 seconds of one of the videos that I've done. They can hear me, they can see me, they can see the way I move. And within, you know, I would say even within 30 seconds, they know whether I'm right or not for their conference or for the person to help them. So, and that's fine. You know, I'm happy with that. So it's important, as long as people can see me and can make up their mind, because, you know, I'm not right for a lot of conferences, and the conferences are not right, you know, for me, which is fine. But it's important that they see me and feel me, and they can hear my voice, as we said, and to get a good evaluation of what I'm all about. So those are the two main areas. And then there's also, you know, when I'm on the stage at different conferences, everybody in the audience somehow hopefully will know that I'm a coach. I often say at the beginning, I introduce myself and say my title and what I do. So it's almost like each conference is part of my marketing strategy, where I have an audience of 500, 1,000, 2,000 people, and hopefully within that audience there's somebody that would need the services and the skills that I can share with them. So those are the three main areas, I would say.
It's great that you mention it, because for the people listening right now, this is exactly what we did. We looked you up, we watched some videos of you, and after like 30 seconds, exactly as you mentioned, we already could make a decision saying, hey, we would love to have this guy on the show.
Great. So it works. It does work.
So this month is also the Bits and Pretzels Startup Conference happening in Munich. And a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, are there, and some of them are lucky and on stage and pitching. What would you suggest or advise entrepreneurs who are about to have the pitch of their life to get an investor on board? What would you, like, five advices you would give them directly for the first pitch?
Five? You want five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or more,
or three, or 10, up to you, Peter.
I'm thinking of them right now. Okay, so first of all, the first thing you need to do is, again, know your message. Know exactly the value of what you're sharing. So, you know, why are you doing what you're doing, and why does it make a difference? Okay, understand that, you know, inside out, in as least words as possible. Once you've got that in your head, once you feel that, whatever you put together, when you start putting together your pitch, even if you've got it already, you know, already written down, that having that in your mind will help you keep everything together and help the audience understand everything as well. The second thing is always have your call to action. So you think to yourself, what do you want the audience to do after your pitch? So often a lot of conferences, they have a pitch competition, and you've got the jury in front of you. And often a startup or a pitcher would think, oh, I want the jury member to think I'm great and to choose me as the winner. But you know what? When you've got a large audience at a conference, it's really important to try to get one thing, and that is a conversation with somebody that's interested. So my advice would be, towards the end of the pitch, always say something like, you know, you've heard over the last 5 minutes, you've heard what I've been sharing, you're curious, you'd like to know more, or you know someone I would like to know more. I would love to have a chat with you, have a coffee straight after this pitch, and see how we can collaborate. So almost you're not exactly in those words, but what you're trying to do is get a conversation. So you need to get people curious enough to say to themselves, oh, I fancy having a chat with this guy. And over coffee, there's no commitment at all. And it's probably the lowest hanging fruit you can get after a pitch. So remember, have a call to action. Make sure you know, try to get people to talk to you afterwards. And the easiest way to do that is tell them to come up to you. Tell them you want to talk to them. Okay.
Yeah.
Third one I would say is make sure you have passion. Right. So make sure you come on stage And again, think to yourself, why should anybody listen to me? Why? Because we, you know, no, they owe you nothing. The audience owe you nothing at all. They're actually giving you their time. It's five minute pitch. They're giving you 5 minutes of their life, right? So you have to give them something back. You have to give them something to be curious about. So to do that, again, you know your value, you know your messages, you've got your call to action sorted as well. Just make sure when you step on that stage, you've got this kind of secret, again, this kind of almost like a sexy secret you've got on your mind. And when you come out on stage, you're about to share that cool secret. Well, it doesn't have to be sexy, but it could be a cool secret that nobody knows about, but you're about to share it. When you come out on stage like that, your body language and even your facial expression will be something that people will want to, that will be curious about. So coming out on stage, feeling, you know, passionate about what you're about to do, will always make a difference. Fourth thing as well, connected to number three, is actually understanding, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? So think about what I'm trying to say is, an idea, it could be a random idea, a great idea, but if that idea is not connected to you as the pitcher, the startup, the person, the founder, you know, if it's not connected to you, or, you know, in any way at all, it becomes a random idea. It becomes an idea that me or you could get up on that stage and talk about. So if it's, you know, try to share with your audience, let them know why you're doing it. For example, you know, at the beginning, say, you know, I had this problem. It meant a lot to me, which is why I wanted to find a solution. So as soon as you put you in the story, people like to listen. People will want to listen to you more because you're putting yourself in this story. Yeah. So it's really important to make sure the idea is connected to you and they know why it's you doing this and not anybody else like me or you doing it. Yeah. I've got one more, haven't I? Yeah.
Sure. Go for it.
Hold on. Let me think. Okay. Number five would be very simply the gestures that you use make a difference. Okay. So coming out on stage, people seeing these open gestures top to bottom. They see your stomach, they see your legs. Don't hide behind the podium. Don't hide behind anything which covers your body. Get out into the center there. Let people see all of you. Let people see your hands. Okay. And the strange thing is when we use our hands or arms or gestures, what happens is we actually sound better. Yeah. Try it. It's crazy, but it's true. So using gestures to highlight certain words, certain phrases, certain key points. If we use our gestures, we actually sound better. We sound more enthusiastic. We sound more passionate. And people will remember these points more. So audiences actually remember not just the words, not just the intonation, but the gestures as well. So gestures, words, and intonation together help people remember a point more, okay, than if you were just to say it. So using your gestures really does help get your message across and be memorable as well.
Amazing. I think this is five very, very good points for everybody out there that would like to become a speaker or just have a presentation or engage with an audience to some extent. So thanks a lot for this, Peter.
You're welcome. Great.
I think we have everything covered, Peter. I'd like to sum up a few things that you said, which we found very interesting. We wrote down a lot. You had a lot of things to share, a lot of great insights. But what we found very interesting is that you knew you had a talent even decades ago, and you it all unfolded from there. You just went for it, and you kept working on yourself. You kept moving, is what you kept on saying. Yeah. You educated yourself. You just kept moving, and you said if you focus on the things we're doing now, if we keep moving, then we focus on the right things, which I think is a very good, good takeaway. And also, what I liked a lot is that you say you. You step in front of an audience and you say, fuck it, go ahead and judge me, because you know the value that you're bringing, you know your message, you know what to bring across, and you know that these people that give you 5, 10, 20 minutes of their lives need to give them something back. And in the end, it's not only about voice and body language and movement and gesture, it's all about passion and it's all about enthusiasm. And I think these are some very good words to end this beautiful episode. Peter, I think it was very, very insightful. Thanks so much for sharing your experiences, your knowledge. And we'll be very excited to share everything about you and see what's coming next.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.